Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Gita, and talking on episode 81, which is chapter 7, verses 11 through 14. Are you with me, Lou?
I am.
Great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. That was good. The last episode 80, was a lot to digest, but I think I'm ready.
Okay, good. All right, so verse 11 says, I am the strength of the strong, devoid of desire and attachment in beings. I am desire, which is not contrary to dharma or the order of the Vedas. A lot to digest here. I am the strength of the strong. The strong meaning, strength meaning the strength of the body, mind, the intellect. Your words can be powerful, strong words. Your actions can be strong actions, weak actions, your personality, everything. I'm the strength of the strong, meaning, and those that are devoid of desire and attachment in beings. So what does this strong strength, body, mind, intellect, words, actions, personality, everything mean? So somebody who is self-centered, always thinking, what's in it for me, selfish, his mind is tied up with desires and attachments. And what Krishna says here is only those who are devoid of desire and attachment, those beings, are strong, and Brahman is the strength of those strong people. So that brings us to mind that when you're selfish, you're self-centered, because of your desires and attachment, it saps your strength. Whether it be for your mind, your intellect, your body, your work, anything. Why? Because your mind is constantly thinking about the attachments and your desires for the future. Now, I pointed to the back when I said attachments.
Yeah.
It's important to recognize where attachments come from, where desires come from. So the constant thing that we hear is worries of the past and anxieties of the future.
Right.
What does that mean? It means you've had a past event in your life. You've had possessions from the past. That event may be painful or it may be happy. Something good happens to you. Something bad happens to you. You are now worried that same bad thing will happen to you again. Throughout for the rest of your life, you'll be thinking, depending on how bad that event was, I hope that doesn't happen to me again. I hope it doesn't. You're worried about it. Or something great happens to you again. You want it to happen again. So you're worried that something like that wouldn't happen to you again. So you're worried about the past. Or you have something you've procured, an object that you possessed. You are now worried that that possession will be lost to you. You lose it. Or that you won't get it back again. You're worrying about losing and not re-experiencing. And that you're bound to those attachments. So that's what he's saying. Attachments are to something that is from the past, pointing to the back. Something that you've already possessed, or that you used to possess, or that you've experienced. Now, you're looking to the future. The future, you're saying, I wish I could get X, whether it be a material possession or a experience. So you're anxious whether you're going to get that or not. And that anxiety of the future. So worries of the past and anxiety about the future, they sap your energy and strength. And that's what he's saying. I'm the strength of the strong, devoid of desire and attachment. So you look at children and you notice that a child has boundless energy. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they have so little from their past that they've experienced and so little that they've accumulated, that they don't have to worry as much. And the future is unlimited for them, so they're always very hopeful that things will work out right for them. So they have boundless energy. You get tired because of the worries of your office and your work and the futures that you have anxiety for. Now, it says, I am desire, which is not contrary to dharma. Dharma is the order of the Vedas. So what exactly is dharma? You can spend a year talking about the different aspects and meanings of dharma. But in a simple form, dharma means the essence of something. So the essence, the dharma of sugar is sweetness.
Right.
So the essence of the Vedas is that you want to reach self-realization. So the essence of the dharma of the Vedas is the desire to become self-realized. So that is one desire that is permitted. You're allowed to have that desire. All other desires, they say, prevent you from becoming self-realized. So I am desire, which is not contrary to dharma, is what this means in brief. Verse 12, and whatever natures that are sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic, these know as from me, with a capital M, alone. I am not in them, but they are in me. We've talked about gunas before. Gunas are qualities of every human being. They're either sattva or rajas or tamas. Now, if you have a pencil or pen and you want to write these down, these are the qualities of a sattvic person. And one day we should spend a whole hour talking about different aspects of food, of actions, of donations, of everything you can spend that qualities. There can be a sattvic donation, there can be a rajasic donation, there can be a tamasic donation. There can be sattvic food, there can be rajasic food, there can be tamasic food. And it's fascinating to go over that, it really is. And what you eat, Ayurveda says, can make you sattvic or rajasic or tamasic.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating, really fascinating. I should remember to do that one day.
Anyway, next field trip.
Yeah. So sattva is pure, equanimous, serene, poised, dynamic. Dynamic externally while peaceful within. These are all the qualities of sattva. Rajas is passion, attachment, desire, agitation, action, do, driven by the cravings of the mind, and the mind is highly disturbed and worried and anxious for the past and the future. Tamas is laziness, inertia, lethargy, ignorance, indolence. All this, not just in the body, but body, mind, as well as the intellect, and heedlessness. Usually tamasic people say, I know it already. They have no interest in learning more or getting to it.
Right.
Now, what he's saying in this verse is that whatever natures that are sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic, though these know as from me alone, I am not in them, but they are in me. That last part, I am not in them, they are in me, is an important thing to remember. So waves and ocean is one word way to look at this. It's easier to understand. You can do the same thing with dreams and the snake and the rope, but let's look at waves. Waves come out of the ocean and they go back into the ocean. The ocean doesn't come out of the waves. Similarly, the world comes from the Brahman. Brahman doesn't come from the world. And that's an important distinction. Let me just step aside for 1 second. People say, oh, God is everywhere. God is all around this beautiful world. You can see God here, you can see God there, which gives the impression that you're saying that God is smaller than the world. The world is bigger, right?
Right.
You say, God is everywhere, meaning it's in this stone, it's in this being, it's in this. But really, the world is just one small microscopic portion of Brahman. And so when you say the world comes out of the Brahman, Brahman doesn't come out of the world, you have to realize how big Brahman is compared to the world. And we'll talk about that one day. The surface of the waves is disturbed. The surface of the ocean is not disturbed at all. The world is disturbed. A lot of agitation, a lot of disturbance. But the Brahman is peaceful and never disturbed. There is birth and death for the waves. The waves are born, they grow big, and then they dissipate back into the ocean. The right. Ocean is never born, never dies. The world is born, hasn't died yet, but there is a time that they predict this world will no longer be. The Brahman never dies. The waves are disturbed, oceans never disturbed. The world is agitated, the Brahman is in peace and bliss. So the dream is just a small little fragment of the mind. You can have multiple dreams. It looks like it's lasted forever, the dream, but it's only a fraction of a moment. Just as an interesting aside, as a psychiatrist, Lou, have you ever dreamt that, you know, just as an example I'm giving you, that you're lying under a tree, for example, and you're sleeping and you're dreaming of all kinds of things. And in the dream, you're lying under the tree and you're looking up at the tree, and suddenly you hear the loud breaking of the branch, and you look up in your dream and the branch has broken and it's coming, falling down on you, and you wake up with a start.
Yeah.
And you realize that a book has fallen off the table, and that was the large crack that you heard of the branch breaking.
Right.
And then you think to yourself, wow, that dream lasted a long time. I walked, I got myself some picnic blanket, I put it under the tree, I lay down, I'm looking up at the branch, and then I heard this branch break and fall, and that's when the book fell down and made that noise. How long had I been dreaming that until that branch broke? How did I know that that book was going to fall down?
You dream in seconds, you put it all together.
That's right.
Yeah.
Many people don't know this, but your dream, which you think lasted a long time, is just in seconds.
Right.
The book fell down, and in that fraction of a second that your brain heard the book fall down, you dreamt the whole thing, culminating in the breaking of the branch and it coming down on you. So these dreams are small. They're a small drop of the mind. They may look big and they may look like they're lasting for hours, but for the mind, it is just 1 millisecond. So similarly, the world is a small drop of Brahman. The whole universe, our universe, is just a small fraction of the total number of universes there are in this whole concept of Brahman. We talked yesterday or last time about what we know about the matter is only 4%. The rest, 96%, is dark matter, dark energy that we don't know anything about.
Right.
And that's all part of Brahman. So similarly, the illusion of the rope and the snake is just a pure illusion. The snake has poisonous qualities. You think it's poisonous, you think it's alive, whereas the rope that you saw, is the rope is dead and is not poisonous. It was just an illusion. But if there's no rope, there's no snake. If the boy didn't go in the dark and see this rope, there was no rope there, he wouldn't have seen the snake. So the rope says, the snake is in me, if the rope were to speak, right?
Yep.
But I, the rope, and not in the snake. That makes sense. This is a confusing sentence.
Yeah.
I am not in these gunas, but they are in me. What Krishna is saying is, I am not in these qualities, just like the rope is not in the snake, but the qualities are in me. Brahman says, I don't depend on these gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, but they depend on me. Without me, the gunas would not exist.
Right.
So, next verse, verse 13, deluded by these natures, composed of the three gunas, all this world does not know me well, as above them and immutable. Now, deluded by these natures composed of the three gunas suggests that our desires never get satisfied, which is true, right?
Yes.
For any desire, you have your mind that says, I want something, because desires don't come from your body. They come really ultimately from your mind, not the intellect. Your intellect only decides, should I do this, should I not do this? But the desires come and vasanas come from the causal body and then the mind. Mind changes. 1 minute you want this, the next minute after you get it, you say, no, I want that.
True.
So that's one thing that there's three things. Then the object that you wanted changes. You said the object that you thought you got was not the same as what you thought you were going to get, or that object has changed.
Right.
And the third is the world surrounding that object and your mind changes.
Right.
I can give you a million examples. You know, somebody says, I want a man as a husband who is XYZ. This looks like this.
Right.
So, and that's the person's mind that says, I want such a man. Then she gets such a man, right? Her mind changes. She says, no, I don't want XYZ. I don't want XYZ. I want ABC kind of man. Not
right.
This man. He's not like this. That's not what I wanted. The man is the same. He hasn't changed. But her mind has changed. So she's not happy with that object. Her desires are not fulfilled. Or the man changes. Her mind is the same, but the man is no longer XYZ. He's no longer XYZ. He has changed. And she says, when I married him, he was like this. He has changed now.
Right.
Or Her mind hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. But the parameters of the world that decide what is a good husband, what is not a good husband, or what society or fashion wants is changed. So your desires change according to that. So there's three different elements in anything changing. So he's saying, deluded by these natures composed of the three gunas, all this world does not know me well as above them and immutable. And we need to watch. We cannot do anything about our mind changing, or we can, but with experience and with some practice.
Right.
But you can, recognizing this, knowing this, there's a huge difference in what you can do. Now, these objects, these emotions, these gunas are known, and this is what we said last time we were going to come back to. Prakriti, which is, we've talked about this, right? Prakriti is the lower prakriti, higher prakriti. Prakriti means the matter. And in its natural and pure state, it is one thing. When there's vikriti, there's vikar, which is modifications or changes in this initial prakriti. So just think of it as, in English, material and modified or changed or spoiled material. For example, you can think of a milk. Milk has prakriti, it's matter. And you say, wow, I have a bowl of milk. I'm going to set it out here in the heat. And mm-hmm. I'm going to come back and eat it. I'm going to go inside and come back. And in the heat, it sits there and it spoils.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it spoils. That change is known as vikriti. So there is vikar that has taken place in that milk. It is spoiled. You can apply this vikriti to prakriti in the body, because our body is born a certain way. We look a certain way. As we get older, we change. And right. there's vikriti, there's change. It can apply also to gunas. So you have a sattvic guna, which is pure, which is all these qualities. Remember, we were talking about last time, Shuddha Buddhi, where we said, Shuddha Buddhi says, I have the ability to recognize qualities of goodness, kindness in right. other people.
Mm-hmm.
When that is now tainted with jealousy, envy, anger, then there's vikriti. So that change occurs in that guna, and you now start to have bad gunas. So the natures of the three gunas are diluted by the natures, and they change. And the last modification...
You were talking about this with kids, how they come, they have a certain mindset when they're young because they haven't seen a lot and they don't have a lot to deal with. But as things start to accumulate in their experience, they change.
Yeah. So there are certain things that they change because of their experiences in the world, and also because of their karmas from the past,
right.
and because of their experiences in past lives. So children, and this is just an aside, friends, children, when they're born, as Lou is saying, that there's two factors or multiple factors that go into their likes and dislikes, raga and dvesha. One is, you will see a child from the time of his early age says, I don't like X, and yep. I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I like this. And his twin would say, I love this, I like this. Now, each one of them had experiences from the past which caused them to have raga, dvesha. But you're right. So samskara or samskriti is when these prakriti and vikriti are modified to make it better. So let's say, again, you have a vegetable that if you leave as this fresh vegetable, leave it outside for a long time, and it's going to get spoiled and get rotten. But before it gets spoiled, you take it and you decorate it in like a salad, and you put it in a plate and you put flowers around it. And that is called samskriti. You modify it to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
So rajas, tamas, and sattva in pure natural form is great. It's okay. When they get spoiled by vikars, which are the negative tendencies, hatred, jealousy, anger, envy, arrogance, then they get spoiled. They become vikriti. And the last verse, verse 14, says, verily, this divine illusion of mine, made of these gunas, which is difficult to cross over. Those who seek me alone can cross over this illusion. Illusion in Sanskrit is also known as maya. Ma means not, and ya means that which is. So Maya means that which is not. So the world, these illusions, the snake of the rope, these are all Mayas. The world, the three gunas, consider it like the movie in a movie theater that is being projected onto a screen through a projector with light and so on. And the screen is Brahman, the screen on which is projected the movie. Without the screen, you won't see the movie. But if you don't have these gunas, there's nothing projected onto the screen. So the waking state, remember that consciousness, life itself, question is, what exists? What is real? What is unreal? Is the world real? No, because it disappears in deep sleep. And when you become self-realized, the whole world disappears. Right? So anything that is real has existed in the past. It exists in the present and exists in will exist in the future. Past, present, future. Unreal doesn't exist. Didn't exist in the past. It doesn't exist now. And it will not exist in the future. Any one of these three. So in the analogy of the rope and the snake, the rope is real because it was existed. I'm just talking in general terms. Don't hold me literally to it. But the rope existed in the past. It exists in the present and it will exist. The snake, however, doesn't exist. It doesn't exist now.
Right.
Didn't exist in the past and will not exist in the future. It's just an illusion. Similarly, the world disappears in deep sleep and on self-realization. Lou, are you there?
I am, yes.
Okay. This looks like I'm frozen over here.
No, you're okay.
It's okay? I'm okay. Yep. Okay. So the world disappears in deep sleep and on self-realization, but the Brahman doesn't. So the Brahman is real. Waking state disappears when you sleep. The sleep state disappears when you awaken. So is the world real? No, because it disappears in deep sleep and self-realization. Is the world unreal? No, because it did exist at one time. So it's neither real nor unreal. Is it partly real and partly unreal? No, because reality and unreality cannot coexist. So what is it? It's an illusion, just like a dream. Is a dream real? No.
Right.
Is a dream unreal? Also no. Is it partly real and partly unreal? No, it's an illusion. Just like that snake, just like the world. So this is not an easy concept to understand the first time you hear it. So don't be disappointed. Don't say, you know, heck with this, I don't understand it. Try. With experience, if you keep delving in, this is the highest and deepest level of the scriptures that you can understand. So just understand it, because once you get to a point where it starts to even, in a distant way, make sense to you, you'll be thrilled. So again, time, space, and causation. Time is when did something occur, space is where, and causation is how. So the dream world, can you apply time, space, and causation to it? You can. But it's hazy, it's blurred. If you say when you woke up, well, when was that? When was it that you dreamt this? When were you lying under the tree with that branch? I don't know. I don't know for sure whether it was when I was 20 years old or 30 years old. It's blurred. Waking world, it's more well-defined, but it's not permanently defined. And then lastly, why is this called a divine illusion? Because without this, without Brahman, there would be no illusion. So without the rope, there would be no snake. Without Brahman, there's no projection. So because it's Brahman,
right,
who we say is God, this is known as a divine illusion. So that's the end of verse 14. Friends, thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening. I would really, really, really appreciate your questions, because as you listen to this and you start maybe thinking that you're confused, you must ask these questions, and I try my best to answer them as best as I could. And we will continue with verse 15 of chapter 7 next time. Lou, any comments?
Yes, if you're listening on our podcast, on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any of a number of other outlets, you can leave comments on the Facebook page. Go to the Gita Memoirs of a Psychiatrist on Facebook and communicate with the doctor. Ask questions that you have. Talk to us about what you like, what you don't like about what we're doing here. And we'd love to hear from you, right?
Right, absolutely. Thank you so much, friends, and we'll see you next time.